There's one question that comes up in all the retreats that we've had. And it comes up in meetings outside of the retreats. During retreats, it usually crops up toward the end, but in this one, came up right in the beginning. And that is, we're trying to formulate it as we go. I don't remember exactly how it's put, so it's something like, why is it that what is possible or at times possible to go on here in a retreat get so utterly lost in our daily life when we leave the retreat, go back home, to the job, to one's daily routines. Or why is it that in our daily life outside of a retreat there is this tremendous momentum of reactions? One reaction leading to another in the other person one may be related with, and that producing more reaction. The mechanicalness of it all. The momentum of it all. And seemingly no space, no time. At times, not even a remembrance of something else. One person said, does this have to remain forever two separate realms coming to a retreat and one's daily life? The mind refuses to accept that. And yet, being realistic and honest, this is how it seems. And at times with it, a resentment against this separation. Maybe, why do I come back to a retreat if it is just to have a good time here or to feel something? If it is so covered up or non-existent or so hard to bring about in one's moment-to-moment living. Or the resentment against the daily life. For being what it is. And yet feeling so helpless to change. One person said, how can it be possible to speak out of awareness and clarity rather than our habitual speaking out of habit? The words, as we all know, just sputtering forth out of a mechanical pattern, a conditioned past. How can I live, someone asked, with a measure of sanity in this daily life, which is so hectic? Having to earn a living in a big city, having family, the demands of the job, moving here, moving there. Is it just in coming to a retreat that that ongoing cycle can be interrupted? One person talking about falling into these states of just spaced outness or oblivion, not aware at all, and then waking up to it, becoming aware of the immediate barrage of self-deprecation. Putting oneself down is a hopeless case. And at the same time, the difficulty in being aware, not just maybe a lack of energy that is felt, but hating to see what one sees about oneself. Not really wanting to witness the truth of all kinds of thoughts and sentiments and feelings and, that go through the mind, that being so incompatible with what one has thought about oneself, that one was so incompatible with the image. I think in looking at all of this, maybe trying to bring it all together, there's no question about the fact that this place here in the country on a humming hillside, the beauty of the view, of the trees, the sounds of the birds and crickets, the frogs in the spring and the peepers. The vast openness and accessibility of the sky with clouds that one just cannot see in a city. The changes in weather, the early mist rising from the valley, the silence of the woods and the sound of the water, being together for a week without talking, no conversations going, no ripping of jokes. I'm not putting it down, but we do it. It's how we live. A good diet, nourishing, well-tasting, fresh exercise period, ample opportunity to walk uphill, downhill, to run if one wishes to. One doesn't have to do any shopping and go to the mall. An enormous energy saver not to have to go shopping. Doesn't even have to plan what are we going to eat today. A relatively short period of work. Lots of time to sit quietly or walk in stillness. Sit down any place, under a tree, on a hill, or in a room. That's what it is, and that is not what one's daily life is. To first of all be clear about that, that's a fact. Different things go on in one's daily life. And if one decides to make this one's daily life as coming on staff, one finds it's not like a retreat. There is lots of work, overtime work, at times. And also, there's lots of talk. There are movies at night on free nights, videos, or one has a free night, and it's not the country, it's Rochester one goes to. And the mind, if it is not really alive and alert from instant to instant, becomes jaded, even to the beauty of surroundings just such as here. What is overwhelming, everyone may come here for the first time or again for retreat after months of having been away, what is overwhelming to the senses, to the eyes and nose and the ears and the skin, the freshness of it all, has a way of fading away as the mind is churning about problems of its own. What will my future be? And so forth. Or just the daily work routine and then the relaxation or entertainment routine has a way of jading the senses. So we established the fact, I think we can all agree upon, that a week of retreat is a very unique thing. Stands on its own. It's not could be compared with anything. And the quietness and energy and in touchness with each other and this vast nature around us that it affords is also incomparable. We don't live like that daily from moment to moment. Where we may be in touch verbally, and therefore we may not be in touch non-verbally. So does this have to be forever more a division in our life, coming to retreat and then the rest of my life? Or can there be a common unifying factor that even though there is a unique thing going on during a retreat, there is something that is not lost or doesn't have to get lost at all as one leaves this place? And we're not talking about pictures one may take, photographs, or the remembrance of a moment that is not describable in words, or not just a moment, a day, a half a day. Usually there isn't so much remembrance of when there is the fullness of life, being there completely, which means not dominated by self-interest, self-centeredness, then there is very little memory. One can observe for oneself, and many people are observing this, that it is the self, the me, with its wants and fears and expectations and so forth, that and hurts and pleasures, that registers and remembers in the brain. Here a moment of it. There's no self to want anything or to fear anything. Just the joy of a moment which has not thought mixed into it, then it becomes pleasure. No thought in it, just the joy of the wholeness, of the totality, of aliveness, being alive, in stillness. That is not a real memory. The memory is what one thinks about at the next moment. Oh, I have to remember this. I must get that back or keep it. Then that moment is over and now thought kicks in, making something out of it to be remembered, to be posted as a future goal. And with that, again, the me at work, wanting, lacking, searching. So we were asking a little while ago, is there some unifying thing so that our life, even though there's a unique thing, one goes to like a retreat and there are many other unique things that happen in our life, so that they don't become just compartments or fragments of a cut-up life. With the pain that goes with this fragmentation, the feeling of cut-offness, of lostness, of loss. And then the constant yearning of to rediscover in the future when I have time for it again. Do we know, are we aware, let me put it that way, are we aware how we live from moment to moment in what we call our daily life? Are we aware at the moment, or do we just remember what and think about those memories? We talked about that yesterday. A memory and then thinking about the memory. It seems thinking on a different level about something that is remembered. Both of these activities, brain activities, having nothing to do with the immediacy of seeing, immediacy of awareness. Is there any immediacy of awareness in our daily life? I'm sure there is. But what happens with it? It is as this one person said, I don't want to see what I see. It doesn't look good for me. And is one so bound, so riveted to this image of oneself, and feeling the duty a real deep-seated duty to live up to this image of being good, being generous, not being ever jealous, not being envious, being kind and gentle, never violent. Is one so riveted to this multiple image that has been established in us since we were very small, that it is too painful to be aware in our moment-to-moment living. Painful in comparison to the image. Not wanting to look what is there in a human being. What comes up in human relationship. The raw stuff. The violence. One person said that today. Amazed to see what brutality and violence goes with desire. The desire to have something and already provided in that movement of desire, we could put it in terms of energy, but this person said the brutality, the violence of getting that, and nothing getting in my way to get it. Can one observe something like this so factually? Not immediately cover it up so nobody sees how I am. I want to be seen how, according to an image of being a nice person, altruistic, considerate of others. But I'm finding out I'm not. Can one remain with such an insight and not shove it under? Not react to it? I think if one compares retreat to home life, daily life, one may remember glorious sunrise, the light streaming through the windows and hitting the tree leaves and the posts on the porch there. That may not be there in the city. You may not see leaves, although the sun also paints the roofs orange bright. And there are a few trees, and there are some clouds. If one lives in New York City, one has to look up the canyon. But do we have these ideal images of what awareness is? Awareness of the birds singing, or a deer jumping away, or the sputtering of the creek. And missing that, feeling there's such disparity between retreat and my daily life. Because the awareness of the sound of the crickets is no different from the awareness of the brutality that accompanies a strong desire. It can be the same awareness if there's the openness to see and perceive what is happening this instant, and not identify with it, not make it mine or say it's me. Awareness can only be there if there is no self-centeredness. Not saying, I want to see this but not that, then there's not awareness, then there's just some partial paying attention. So we started asking, are we aware of what we're doing all day long for one day? wondering whether there can be awareness what one is doing from moment to moment, for one day, maybe one morning, maybe 1 hour, maybe 10 minutes. Doesn't matter how long, but aware what is going on in this body and mind and in our relationship with people and things and the world, nature of nature and people and goods. We may not find it interesting. But if we don't find it interesting, we won't pay attention. And then be drowned by these mechanical, habitual ruts. Be stuck in them, is a better metaphor. You don't drown in a rut. No, I think we can all agree if we're really vitally interested in something, we go out and do it. We find out. We pay attention. A memory comes to mind. Every summer we used to take the railroad train down south in Germany to a village where there were mountains, and we'd spend some weeks there. And just already that to be on that train ride was such a fascinating thing to look forward to and to be on. We were allowed not just to sit in the compartment, we could stand in the hall of that train in the passageway with the big windows. And my brother and I would plan on what we were going to do in that passageway, on that train ride, which took about 8 hours. Maybe more. We stayed overnight and then took another train the next morning. And what we usually came upon was we were going to write down every word that appeared through that window. It was such fun. Just not too long ago, somebody mentioned the name, I think it's a tire, which is called Continental. Is there a tire which is called Continental? Mm-hmm. We wrote down Continental. We didn't know what it meant, but that was a big word. And it appeared sort of a little bit decayed on under the roof of a stucco house. This was the advertising at our time. Not such beautiful, big, colored posters, but words, more words. And of course the stations, sometimes the train would go too fast, we couldn't catch the name of that little village. But we spent hours there, filling up that list, and the longer it got, the better. What I'm saying is, if we were really vitally interested to find out how a human being, let's not say I, because that's already beset with problems, the image problems, how a human being, this human being, spends one day, or whatever time there will be energy for to watch or interest, I think we would be amazed to find how the day changes, how something comes to life, that is not of our ordinary, dreaded, mechanical, dark routine involvement. One may know that one is a hectic person doing things very hectically, but if one wonders, what is this hecticness with which I move, whether I'm in the kitchen or doing laundry, always having to do things quickly as though the devil was behind one. How is it to open a clothespin up? It doesn't take much more time, but just to be there, to feel it. Snap, snap. The bending, to put it into the basket, the feel of the laundry, the smell of it. Folding it, smoothing it, putting it down. You may say, wait a minute, that's easy. That's not being in touch or in conversation or in argument with somebody. It's not the difficulty in interrelationship. But if there can be this paying attention to what one thought was the hecticness of one's movements and doing, taking the laundry down or preparing a meal, washing the lettuce, wanting to find out how am I doing this? Not, I should do this quietly, I should do it attentively, I should move slowly. We're not talking about that. Please don't misunderstand that. There's no role model involved in this. If a role model comes up in the mind, one sees in one's mind's eye somebody who does that so beautifully, then see that this is an image, and the urge to imitate that is not paying attention to what one is actually doing. A completely different thing. So we're not talking about imitating any model of attentiveness, whatever that is, but watching hecticness. And in the watching, finding out that something slows down. The mind slows down, the body slows down. The body slows down, the mind slows down. And as it slows down, there's more space for awareness. To really catch all these movements. Not in order to have a good day, but in order to find out, how do we live? What is this daily life? We talk so much about this daily life that I have to live. What is it? We don't know. We blank out and automaticness takes over. Does it have to? Are we interested? Do we want to find out about this human being right here? We're full of judgments about it. Full of evaluations about ourselves, but this may all be in the realm of thought, an image. Long created in the past and still functioning to blind us toward what is actually going on. In the opening talk, I think, when in talking about reading materials, and then we said one can also put down all books and read these collected works of oneself, or the encyclopedia, somebody said. Person said, at the moment you said this, I was wondering whether there was such a thing, but I'm finding out there is. There is an enormous spectrum, panorama of thoughts, emotions, reactions, feelings, remembrances, stuff bubbling up from the unconscious mind, to be seen and not to be judged. To be seen and not to be compared. or if comparison with self-image takes place, can one catch that before the self-deprecation sets in, which drains so much energy, causes depression, and not wanting to look any further? So what are we interested in? Are we really interested in this human being that represents all human beings? If we say, no, I'm not, then we will continue to live mechanically, unawares, and there will be a perpetuation of the problems, conflicts, grief, sorrow that comes out of this mechanicalness of living together. Because the moment we're inattentive, acting mechanically, the self-center is in command. It sits in the driver's seat. That's inevitable. One can observe this for oneself. A moment of the openness of awareness, no self-center there. There's no demand made on anybody or anything. There's no expectation to get something. There's no thought of arriving someplace. And there's no fear. But when there's the thought comes up, oh, what a marvelous state. This is what I want to have for the rest of my life. This is what I want to take home into the big city. Then something closes up. This is the closing up. This is the narrowing down. And as we live in grooves and channels, there is the me with its desires and the violence that goes with desire. Wanting to get something and the energy to get it. And then the anger or the explosion if one is thwarted. Somebody crosses one's ways and all that energy that is mobilized to get what one wants is there to pounce on the person who crosses one's path, prevents one from getting what one wants to get. Coming back to the question that came up in several meetings by different people. Can I really do this in my daily life? Can my daily life really change? Looking back, honestly, it hasn't. Times I'm gripped, says the human being, but a tremendous desperation, just the bottom of despair over this, the pits, not able to bring about a change. Same patterns running with their consequences, with their divisiveness and separativeness. self-isolation and the despair. And then the question, is there any hope? Can what is going on here ever flower in one's daily life? Is one really at that point where one asks this question? Or is it all just mental? Actually, I think, and I don't just think, I'm just using that word for lack of a better one, that if one has once dipped into this work seriously, that one doesn't have a choice but to continue with it. I'm not trying to brainwash. Sounds like that, doesn't it? And observation can go on in one's overloaded, hectic daily life. If it doesn't go on, aren't we killing something? Ourselves? And one can see that for oneself, that this is indeed what happens. And how does one see it? As a universal human fact, that when there's no attention, no awareness, then something wilts, decays, degenerates in human beings and in human relationship. Because then there's just images relating to each other. And this overpowering drive of self-center, needing to get for oneself, which if it is seen, if it is detected, it opens up. One sees what is happening. It's clear. And when there's opening up, there's the other person is not just an object there for one's own satisfaction or fulfillment or use. But one sees that other person openly for what he or she is doing, saying, acting. It's one understands from observing oneself what we're all about. And maybe the need to take things so personal recedes on its own. People say when I'm in the height of an argument or difficult situation and it's all anger, so difficult to be attentive. But maybe one isn't always at the height of an argument. The argument starts someplace. The day starts with waking up. Where is one? Tired, worn out, wanting to pull the blanket back over? What did one do last night? To question, not, I don't want to sound moralistic at all, I'm inquisitive. Watching late movies or getting in at 2 o'clock in the morning or so. To see this has to do with that. And doesn't have to be brimful of energy to see. Tiredness and reflect on what one did, what sleep did one get. Not what one should get, but what one did get. Sleep may have been restless, lots of dreams. May have been a deep sleep and very short and very restful. As one gets up, simple things. Does one see what one is about? All the thoughts about the coming day or the foot sliding into a slipper? The hecticness may start taking over, the gulping down of the breakfast. But one can watch. One can watch the gulping. Not say, I must eat slowly now, like during retreat. But but if one watches the gulping, one has never watched it, because the mind, when one gulps because the mind is already someplace else. Maybe the gulping will sort of disentangle itself when there is this benign, gentle watching. Benign, I'm saying, it is not judgmental. It doesn't hold up models. It just watches. How one has swallowed before one has chewed, and then something feels awful someplace in the pipe or the stomach. And then one can experiment with it. Does the next bite have to have that same effect? It doesn't if one watches. One does. One does chew before one swallows if one pays attention. It follows naturally. And maybe the breakfast didn't take much longer than the other way. And yet, it's not, something is not lost. The next moment is met differently. It's not met with an increasing tension, increasing feeling of being harassed. And therefore, when somebody says something, there may be the openness of listening and not getting angry, realizing a person is just as tired getting up from last night as oneself is, and therefore not very gentle, irritated, as one feels oneself or has felt. So there is a constant creation of space in this awareness, in this interested awareness of how do I live 10 minutes or half a day or one day of my life? Without identifying with any image of how I should do it. Watching the image when it comes up and seeing what it is, an image, that's all. I may find out after this kind of approach, new approach to my daily life, that I will cut out this or that. I will not continue with that. I may or may not. I may not need to make that much money or get a promotion, because I understand now directly how I live already without the promotion. I may find time for going for a walk or not see that late movie. I don't know. It all depends on the interest and clarity of observation, finding out how we human beings live, what we really need to pay the rent or support the family, and what is extra, either want or just habit. Thinking I have to do this and finding out I don't. Does this make sense? Please bring it up in meetings if it doesn't, or if you want to go further with something, well, do it. But it is this gentleness and spaciousness of awareness, not physical space. One may live in a very tight apartment in a crowded city. So I'm not talking about physical space. I'm talking about the space of looking. What's there without crowding in with judgment and image. So, silently too, not just spaciously, but silently. Silent meaning not immediate habitual reaction to me or you, but listening, because I want to find out how we live this day. 10 minutes. And that spacious silence of listening is no different from retreat. Even though the fragrance coming through the window may be quite different, it may be smog. So I'm finding I don't have to cut up my life at all. Because this silent spaciousness of listening can come up any place, anywhere. And it brings with it its own intelligence and love. We will end here for today.